All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, how we doing after a full weekend of football and fun? An FBF Friday that was missing one element. He's back. After being the headliner, Barry Laminack joins us.
Fancy pants. That was the FBF Friday, right?
Not via remote.
Yeah.
Not via tin cans with string. He is here in studio.
What's up?
What's up?
What
How
up?
Was the weekend? No more canceled
Glad to be
shows.
Back. No, Thursday got canceled also.
Well, what the hell?
After I got off the air with you guys.
Not a single show in San Antonio?
No, we had shows. See, you always think when I say canceled that that means for the weekend. That just means that night.
Yeah. Right.
So there's seven shows. Two got canceled.
Okay.
So we still had two Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday. And
pretty good.
Yeah, out of and it happens.
Well, that's five shows, isn't it?
They said that it's the slow time of year. So it happens before where, they said one time that the entire weekend was just canceled because no one showed up.
If I got paid.
Now, if I was a headliner and that happened, I would feel horrible that nobody came to any shows.
I feel like the early weeks of our show.
Right. A little bit. Yeah. Early on. No, but it overall, I can't complain, man. I got to headline an out-of-town club, which was cool. Got that under my belt. The pay was good. It's all the same, whether I did the shows or not. The people that did come to the final five shows were great. It was a weird weekend, though. It was so nothing weird. You know, always something always weird happens to me going there or driving back or whatever. Nothing weird there, but at the shows, it got a little strange because... So the guy that was doing the MC spot had tickets to a concert on Saturday, so he couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. So he was like, hey, there's going to be a fill-in. Well, at 7:58, show starts at 8. At 7:58, the MC is not there. The fill-in MC is not there. And we're going, what the hell is going on here? So the manager comes in and goes, well, we don't have an MC for this show. So the feature spot, which normally does 30 minutes, the MC does 15, feature does 30, the headliner does 45. So he goes, all right, so you're going to have to MC the show to the feature. You're going to have to open the show, do your 30 minutes. Barry, you're going to do an hour and walks off. And I was like, whoa, wow, okay, an hour. Good thing I have an hour and not just 45 minutes because that's that's basically doing two feature sets now.
Which for those that don't understand, that's a bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, because I'm used to
it's
doing
a massive adjustment.
I'm used to doing a 30-minute set on the road right now. I'm a feature comic that sometimes headlines, that sometimes does a 45-minute set. This guy came to me and basically just said, you know how you do normally 30? Yeah, you need to double that. And I was like, wow, okay. I did it. I mean, I got through it. No problem. I had plenty of material left, too. So I was like, oh, I could actually do more than an hour now. So that's good to know. So that was fine, but a little nerve-wracking. Well, then the second show, we get an MC. So I'm like, okay, everything should be back to normal now. And I walk out to the lobby and there's like 20 black women that are in their 60s. I was like, what the hell is going on right now? It was a church revival retreat.
Praise.
For the show.
Amen.
They were there. For the comedy show. Now, I have no problem with 60-year-old women. I have no problem with black women. I have no problem with church women. But when you combine them all and then send them to a comedy show where
you're going to cuss.
Oh.
You're going to cover some off-color things.
I'm going to tell all these D jokes and the sex jokes and all. Oh, my God. And I'm seeing that. I'm going, oh, boy. And turns out they're from Pearland.
So, tell him the joke joints on 45 and Fuquay. So, I mean, come on.
I'm just like, I get on stage, I hit the stage, and, you know, the comics before me had already kind of addressed it, but I was just like, what is going on here? Whose idea was it to go to this comedy club's at the mall? I'm like, which one of y'all had the big idea to go see some unknown comic to you that you've never heard of at a mall on a Saturday at 10:30? It's the late show. It's not even the early. Don't y'all have church tomorrow? It's the late show. But you know what? They were the absolute best. They had a ball. I didn't change my set. I think a few of them were.
Okay,
yeah.
See?
Like, I didn't change my set. I was like, no, I'm not. I've already just went through, you know, the first show where I had to do an hour. I was like, you're getting the jokes that you're getting. I'm not changing.
Jokes, even not, if you don't want it.
I'm not working clean. I'm not, nope. I say GD sometimes. I'm saying it. I don't care. And they had an absolute blast. They were the best crowd, which kind of, you know, you as a comic, you tend to prejudge a crowd. So I was a little nervous. And then Sunday, I'm sitting at the bar. There's only like 15 people at the Sunday show. It's not a big show.
What time is the show?
8:30.
So at night?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sitting at
I thought it was a brunch with Barry kind of thing. No. 8:30 in the morning.
So I'm sitting
eggs,
at
bacon
the
bacon and Barry.
I'm sitting at the bar and there's these two really loud chicks out there just screaming and they're drunk and I'm like, oh my God, this is gonna be horrible. They're going to be so loud. And they're showing videos to these other people that didn't care. They're just, you know, one of those people like, look at my dog. And then you're like, I don't want to see this. I don't care what this is. And we're sitting there and the one chick looks at the other chick and goes, or no, looks at this couple at the end of the bar. And she goes, y'all ever heard of this dude? And everybody was like, no. And I'm sitting at the bar. I'm sitting there. And they were like, I hope he's funny. Is he funny? I don't know if he's I don't know. I've never heard of him. Let's look him up. I was like, he's pretty I mean, he's okay.
Ed Helms, the Ed Helms crowd.
I'm sitting there, but I look exactly like my picture.
Yeah, you don't have the fake stash.
There's
on.
No, yeah. I'm like, I said, he's all right. I mean, he's okay. He's not great, but he's not terrible. They were like, I hope so. They had no idea it was me. And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, I mean, let's, you know, look. So we have this conversation where I'm just kind of baiting them into it. And then when I hit the stage, their faces. They were all like, you could hear two of them go, oh, hell no. Like, uh-uh. I thought that was pretty funny. What a great way to end the weekend.
Did you roast them?
A little bit. Yeah, because I was explaining to the rest of the crowd. I was like, and I was calling them bitches just to make it funnier. And they were rolling with it. They were great. I was like, these bitches. They were laughing. They had a great time. So, I mean, even it's crazy because you can have a show with 15 people. And it can be more fun than a show with 50 people.
It's weird.
Just depending on how the show goes.
Crazy good, though.
Most of the time, it's not fun.
Well, if you have one of them that laughs like an elephant, it sounds like 50 people are in the... That was unbelievable.
Dude, that was the best. I don't think anything will ever top that
And she
lady.
Continues to go to comedy shows.
Yes.
That's the best part.
Her husband makes her sit up front. He's like, yeah, you're going to showcase this for everybody. So, yeah, no, well, it was a good
that's
weekend.
That's good.
Did you guys do anything fun?
No,
not really.
Not really.
A bunch of lames.
You were fired up for football. I saw that.
Yeah, I was. I didn't expect I should have expected what the Texans were going to go. What the Texans were going to do. But we have plenty of time to talk about that. But yeah, I just wanted to chill, drink, and watch football, and that's exactly what I did. I didn't go to the game.
Good for you.
But
did
yeah,
you go to media day today?
I did not go to media
good
day
job.
Because it was 11-1.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
job.
Have been able to make it.
Good job.
Oh,
Rockets
yeah.
media day. He's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was right over here at Tillman's Hotel.
Oh, really?
Instead of at the Toyota Center.
I know nice. I know Eco and you know, some of the guys that normally cover the Rockets for us are there.
Yep.
Cool.
And some that don't, that get credentialed. So, yeah. So, you know, that's the kind of way that we get the season started, which is always fun in games. Badgers with a big win Saturday night because it was on national TV. I say big win, but they've already crapped the bed for the year. And, of course, we can get to the NFL.
Your beloved Packers.
Yeah, and you
got another parting shot on me. You just love.
Wait
the
a minute. No,
you love that. Joel,
did you text the Twitter yet? Because I didn't see you.
He did the claim. He looks for the. If there's blood,
did
in the
he
water,
mention you on Twitter normally?
No, I didn't mention him. He's so sensitive.
No, he
that
didn't
he
go
thinks,
at me personally, but he calls out Clay Matthews again.
This is how egotistical Joel is.
Oh, horse crap. This is, don't get me to swear on you.
What is it?
He was about to.
I was. Too.
What do you call people that think? Oh, narcissistic. That's Joel. He's a narcissist.
Now there's more name calling. Welcome back, Barry. Great to have you.
10 minutes.
God, is Raheel all still down the hallway?
Hey, go get him. He'll steal the show. All I did.
Oh,
we're going to talk about it. I don't care. I want to know. I have many, many questions.
Don't catch me stealing.
All I did. Stop. You're stealing my thunder. All I did.
Well, take it if you see it. Go with it. It's your airtime. Go.
All I did was tweet out a simple fact. The NFL hates Clay Matthews. That's all I did. And I put three laughy cry faces on it. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
I saw that tweet. I actually saw that tweet.
And Joel took it. If I wanted to do it at you, I would have said, hey, Joel.
Which you normally do.
But I didn't because it was commentary on how ridiculous.
I thought about just saying, you know what? Joel hates when Barry is funny. Go,
he did say
team.
Something. He did. It was like, oh, yeah, Barry's so funny. Like, typical angry person.
I can tell you that wasn't Barry subtweeting. I can tell you when Barry's subtweeting.
Yeah,
that
I
wasn't
subtweeting you. I was subtweeting the NFL because it's a joke.
It is.
The way that they've treated Clay Matthews the last 2 weeks. So it wasn't a shot at you. It was a shot at the NFL.
Oh, I know.
But old narcissistic Joel.
That is a disaster.
Barry, I don't think you understand the way we do bits around here. I was just playing into it so that people could jump on board with it. I wasn't taking it personal.
Your tweet let me know you took it personal. And I had something. I was like, you know what? I know he's upset right now. He's in his feels.
No, they
I'm
just
gonna
sucked
delete
yesterday.
It.
You know what? They weren't Vikings bad, but they sucked.
Boy.
Yeah. You can yell school
how did we do
all
on the
day
picks?
If you need a pinch between your cheek and gums, but you don't need a pinch between your cheek and gums. You need a kick in your ass if you're Minnesota getting whooped up on like that by the Bills.
You don't want to talk about the picks.
Really? Is it that bad?
We all did.
Really yeah, I kind of was looking at it going,
it was a bad
week. We
got
A&M right.
Picks.
They covered.
Dang.
Bad week for picks. I think college-wise,
I think I got
you and I went 3-2, and he went 2-3, and then we all went 1-4 in the NFL because y'all copied off of my picks.
Wait a second. Did not copy
cheaters.
One pick.
Yeah, me either, Jerry Bo. Slow
down. Yeah, Joel
Bo
over here picking.
It's J-Bo to you.
J-Bo.
All right. All right, so we're going to get started, and we appreciate you being along for the ride. If we do a couple smash and grabs along the way, just make sure you know you're an accomplice and a suspect. But you probably won't get prosecuted, at least in the court of public opinion. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's the usual suspects. If you want to reach the show directly, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, where you can call, you can text. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. Stay tuned. Much more coming up around the corner. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back segment number two of a Monday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate y'all up for the ride, and we kind of broke the ice in segment number one, but we do have a lot to get to today. It's always fun on a Monday because good, bad, or indifferent, the headlines kind of write themselves and the topics kind of fall right into your lap. In this one, it was like hot coffee in Bill O'Brien's because we've got the Texans to talk about starting 0-3. To put some perspective on it, the last time a team started 0-3 and made the playoffs was 1998.
Chargers?
Buffalo Bills.
Okay. Oh, the Chargers. I heard Charlie say they were 0-4. or 1-4 or something like that, and went 11-1 to make the playoffs.
So as Kevin Garnett says, anything is possible, but I don't think I would be Jerry Bowen it on if you have
First
money
of all,
to spend.
I want to say I do have many, many questions about my absence on Friday.
Yes.
I realized some certain things went down. So many questions.
Or went
that,
out.
Yeah, I have lots of questions about Raheel, a.k.a. Sticky Fingers. So we're going to get to that, though, in a little bit. Right now, though, I want to talk Texas. But we're going to get to it. We're gonna at some point, because I got to know what the hell happened. I've got so many questions. And you have a new shirt. It's just weird. So we're going to get to all this. But, yes.
So, not to steal your thunder on that.
No.
Let's take what's been
Texans
given to
first.
Us already.
Absolutely.
Which is that loss at NRG Stadium
yesterday.
Well,
we talked about it going into this weekend that this was a must-win. Yeah. I mean, this was – when you're 0-2 and you're facing another 0-2 team, it's a must-win. And they didn't win. And it's over.
Five teams since 1980.
I realize that everybody can jump the gun early in the season. And, you know, we talked about the Vikings, and we both kind of felt that they could be a Super Bowl team. And they went out and laid an egg against the Buffalo Bills. And that's going to happen. I don't not trust that team still.
No, you're right.
I still feel like the Vikings are a solid football team. Just stuff happens. And I think it was Kyle Rudolph that said, man, every year we have one of these games. And at least we got it out of the way early, speaking of the Vikings. And that's fine. Every team's going to have that, right? I mean, Patriots don't go undefeated every year either. But in regards to the Texans, there's been no signs of improvement. Other than J.J. Watt playing better, tell me where this team is actually looking better week to week.
Well, and here's what I was going to say right off the top, too, is at least we knew, okay, when we were looking at the start of the season, we knew that there might be a little bit of a kind of a gray area where Deshaun gets back to feeling like Deshaun, right?
Well, you wondered if he could run like he used to run,
there are questions
or whatever. What I didn't expect is as bad as he's played throwing the ball. I mean, he was wildly inaccurate to start the game.
This is three straight games where he's had a really bad pick into double coverage in the end zone.
Yep.
So what I was getting at is the things that we had questions about were on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line, the lack of depth at running back, the other receiver position, and of course Deshaun getting back to being Deshaun. What we felt like we knew enough about to feel confident in was the defense. Romeo Crennel's back, JJ's healthy, everybody that
Clowney,
had an injury from
Merciless
and Clowney, those guys...
Secondary might be better.
We're going to be back healthy, right? Secondary may be better because that Kareem agreed
Tyron
to go
Matthew.
To safety. You bring in the Honey Badger. You draft Reed.
Colvin.
So you've got all these different things that say, well, the things you got to worry about are on offense, but the things you don't have to worry about are on defense. And then you look at what happened in a nutshell in the first three games, but the microcosm was this last game. You're playing Eli Manning, who needs a wheelchair to get out of the pocket. You know, you're taking on a team that seems to be in disarray more so than even you are. And yet, Eli Manning picked you apart. I think he only had three incompletions at one point before in his first 20 pass. He was dissecting you. Your defense got nothing out of anyone not named J.J. Watt, who had four tackles for loss, three sacks. But again, don't over-celebrate. You're doing it against Eli Manning, not against a mobile and agile quarterback. But overall, everything that you supposedly didn't have to question is at the top of your list of what to question because they couldn't stop anybody.
Well, I mean, when it comes to that defense... First and foremost, it's good to see J.J. Watt back.
Absolutely.
It was good for him to get the three sacks. He was disruptive. Wheeler looked like he was on skates the entire time. He could not deal with J.J. Watt. So it was great to see that. That's a step in the right direction. That's the one lone bright spot, I think, for this entire team for these 3 weeks is J.J. Watt appears to be past any issues he had with his back and healthy. Does that mean he won't get injured again? Absolutely not. But he looks like the old J.J. Watt, at least 90%. The other concerns for me, though, is where the hell is Jadeveon Clowney? Where the hell is Whitney Mercilus? Zach Cunningham is atrocious in coverage. He's been torched every week. You're getting good safety play, but for the most part, this defense isn't doing what they're supposed to do.
It's basically Tyron Matthew. I mean, if you want to say Tyron Matthew is one guy that's one of the other parts of the defense that's doing its job, you might be able to throw Tyron Matthew's name in there as well. But other than that, there's nobody on defense doing anything. You're right. J.J. Watt is looking really good. Tyron Matthew's kind of doing his job. But other than that, there's nothing.
Where's everybody else?
That's what I'm saying. Clowney, Merciless, no shows. Combined, they have like the two of them between three games have like 9 combined tackles. And by combined tackles, I mean they assisted on a tackle 9 different times between the two of them.
Bernhard McKinney?
No sacks. No, I mean, no, they're not getting any pressure on the ball.
Bernhard McKinney, you took care of.
Yeah.
This is getting to be track record 101 for the Texans, i.e. Brock Osweiler. Small sample size and no hurry, but let's rush and get a deal done. For Bernhard McKinney.
Yeah.
For Bill O'Brien. For Brock Osweiler. Stop it already, because this guy has been like Houdini the way he disappeared. I don't know what happened to Merciless, unless the only thing I can say is because he's been so consistent for years that maybe he's still not right. Maybe he's not healthy.
It could be.
But I got people out there, too, that are out there tweeting. Lamont was one of them, too, that jumped on the bandwagon with what I said last week was, I'd start exploring trading Clowney now. Because even when he plays, he's a no-show. He might as well be in street clothes yelling at guys on the sidelines because he's not showing up in the box score. At least J.J. Watt is, and like you guys mentioned, Tyrann Mathieu is and should be a guy that hopefully will be willing to stick it out more than this year and see that they can make some changes, do some things, let some guys go, and hopefully make this defense what he was expecting, because right now it's not even close.
No, and don't give the offense a pass either.
Listen, no way.
That offensive line, not only are they playing like we expected, which is horrible, but they're playing. You can't be bad and kill yourself with penalties. And this, the Texans aren't the worst or most penalized team in the NFL, but it feels that way because this offensive line seems to make the dumbest penalties at the most inopportune time. And if you're going to be bad, fine, be bad. I get it. This is the most inexperienced line in football, if you can believe that. I looked it up. They have 99 starts between the 5 of them. To put that in perspective, they're worst. They're the worst in the NFL with 99 combined starts on the offensive line. You know who the best is and what the number is? The Eagles at over 500 combined starts. It's like 570. Second worst in the NFL is 158. They're damn near 60 combined starts behind the second most inexperienced. This line, we knew it was going to be atrocious.
And if you're at home.
But the problem is stop committing false starts.
Yes,
that's easy. Holding, I get. You're trying to protect Deshaun Watson. You don't want to get him murdered. You don't want to do any lookout blocks. But these false starts?
Julian Davenport, you're not on the road in Seattle and the 12th man is ringing in your ear. You're at home and you have three
inexcusable.
Of them. Three of them. Now, look, to your point, I give him the one that cost him the touchdown that got called back. Because if he doesn't hold on that one, then Deshaun gets murdered.
Well, and then him protesting, it's like, dude, you tackled him. That's a hold.
Yeah, I think a lot of that protesting came from just raw emotion. He knew
he
was
up.
Kind of in the spotlight in terms of bad decisions. And so, yeah, dude, the thing is about penalties, it's the type of penalties that continue to tell me that they're never going to change in terms of bad decision making. They're never going to change in terms of if you look at the list of the most penalized teams, there's actually a couple of good teams up there that get penalized a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the type of problems that Houston Texans show when they get penalized, it shows you that the decision-making is never going to get better. And, you know, to Joel's point, I actually kind of agree. You might want to consider trading Clowney, but even if you do and you get something good in return, what is Bill O'Brien going to do with that? What is Bill O'Brien going to do with that? It still starts at the top.
I was going to say, it starts right there, Nick. You're absolutely pinpoint spot on, because that's where I'm going with it too. The fact of the matter is, you know what? Now, contrite, almost apologetic, soft-spoken Bill O'Brien in the press conference with the Gary Kubiak, that's on me. No, bro. You don't get a hall pass after you come out guns blazing at any media member that asks you questions. You don't get a hall pass when you say it's not my job. You don't get a hall pass when you decide that you're mad at every media member for asking such a ludicrous question or coming at him in that way. If you're going to be Andy Pettit, own it from the start. It's on me. My bad. I apologize. In every single press conference, good or bad. But if you try and tough it out when you look good or everybody's expecting things and you're preseason and everything like that and you're going to be tough guy, hey, man, no one's swallowing that pill when you decide to come back with humble pie going, sorry, guys, that's on me. I got to do better. Yeah, it is on you, and it should be ugly on you for the way that you handle things when you think it's not on you.
It's the thing that's always drove me crazy about him. Belichick has earned the right to be an a-hole.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien hasn't earned that right. But yet, when they're winning or things are going okay, he's super arrogant. He does this every year. And then when they're going through a rough patch, it's this fake sincerity, like, oh, don't beat me up, guys. Don't be too hard on me. We're going through, it just drives me insane, because it's like, where's that when things are going well and you're getting asked questions? You don't have to be like, you haven't earned the right to be a dick yet. 9-7 doesn't qualify you yet.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Participation trophies and division championships ain't going to get you a pass when you've been a complete D-bag the way you've handled everybody from the media to the fan base to everything else on your way to getting to the point where now you're close to rock bottom again.
If I was in those press conferences, I would be ratcheted it up so much higher. I mean, you think we were tough on you when the season just started or you were winning a few games? Oh, I would put the screws to him now.
Like Kubiak and him, right? Like Kubiak and him. Mm-hmm. Right, night and day. But you kind of gave Gary an extra long leash because at least he was owned.
People liked Gary,
right?
And
they liked him. Exactly right. So I'll give you the exact thing in a different sport. This is Pettit and Clemens. Pettit admits it from the get-go, says, I'm sorry, I did it, I need to rectify the situation, and everybody's forgiven him, everybody's understanding, everybody's compassionate. Clemens fought it. He said no, he didn't do it, he took it to court, and everybody got tired of it and pissed off. It's the same thing with Bill O'Brien. You can't be tough guy, guns blazing, like you're this massive, you know, I've won and I've done everything that I need to do to be able to get you guys to do everything that I say. And then all of a sudden go, it's on me, guys. I got the play calling was awful and I got to get better and I got to look at that. We've been looking at it for weeks while you've been arrogant. Stop it already. It's annoying. And there's no one that's going to forgive you and give you a pass when you've been that big of a D leading up to this situation.
Yeah, no doubt.
So we can continue to talk about Texas.
We got Avery, more we to see get your to. Call. Yep. We will get to you right after this break. I promise you.
Don't hang up.
Yeah, right now, though, man, listen, one of the reasons I'm glad to be back, I get to go to Cowboys and Indians. I'm ready for another trip. It's time. And I always love when the listeners get back with me after going to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen for the first time. It just happened last week. Somebody hit me up on Instagram and said, oh, my goodness, Barry, you've been hyping up Cowboys and Indians for months, for over a year now. I'm glad I listened to your show because I would have never known about this place. It was absolutely amazing, and we loved it. And I think you will, too. They're located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. Super easy to get to. Y'all, the food is amazing. There's nothing else I can tell you about it other than the fact that it's amazing. And you, like every other listener, once you go, you're going to hit me back and tell me how good it was. Because I know, I believe it. I've eaten it. I go there all the time and eat it. And I love it because it's a mix. It's Southern comfort food and it's Indian food. So if you're feeling like some of the best buttered chicken in Houston, they've got that for you. If you're looking for some lamb vindaloo, they've got that as well. And I've had it and it's really good. Chicken curry, they got it. But you can go that Southwest flavor. Get chicken fried steak. Get a burger. Get some chicken fried chicken if you want. They've even got healthy food. You can get a grilled chicken with some green beans and rice and eat super healthy as well. All the food's delicious. The Indian food is authentic family recipes that Haas has passed, that has been passed to Haas down over generations, and he perfected right there in the kitchen. And it's really cool, too, because sometimes, yeah, the family will come and help him out in the kitchen and make it so it's authentic and so good. Also, don't forget, you can get 20% off the non-quesadillas if you mention ESPN 97.5. They've got trivia on Wednesdays. Great place to go and hang out. They've got TVs to watch the game. Full-service bar. And if you want to have it delivered, then you don't feel like going out. You want to watch it at home Monday Night Football tonight? DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub will bring Cowboys and Indians to your door. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
Check it.
Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on The Usual Suspects on a Monday. ESPN 97.5. Basically, I think this is what you guys wanted, is for us to be honest. We're not going to blow any smoke. And the bottom line is this is ugly, man. I mean, look, no one was sitting here on this show saying that this was a Super Bowl team, like a lot of the prognosticators were. But I think we were all hopeful when we were looking at the schedule and the record and saying, look, with the amount of talent on the roster, with the fact that as long as the quarterback position is healthy, that this has the makings of a team that's going to fight for and be involved in trying to win the division, trying to secure a playoff spot, whether it be a wild card or otherwise, and they're going to be in the mix. But I don't think everybody thought that the New England game was going to be tough, but no one thought they were going to be 0-3.
No, and I think there's plenty of blame to go around, too. It's not just O'Brien. It starts with him, but the players, you know, God, I hate to say this, but honest to God, he's going to have to be better at his job. But, dude, you can't just be throwing balls into double coverage.
True.
Nope. You can't put the ball on the ground. And they're -2 in turnovers on the year. They lead the league in QB hits with 33. They're not protecting Deshaun Watson. They're not giving him time. He's not making accurate passes. But is it because he's under duress, or is it because he's inaccurate and rusty? This goes across the board. There's maybe two guys that you could point to and say doing his job and has been doing his job the entire year.
Well, and I realize
we're only three games in, but I mean,
you're not trying to blame just Bill O'Brien, nor should you. But here's the thing. Next to Bill O'Brien is Brian Gain. Brian Gain was trusted with bringing better players into the organization. Now, the draft remains to still be seen, right? But from the standpoint of bringing in offensive linemen, you got worse.
No, yeah. That was the big thing that all offseason, I was like, nobody, they didn't bother to go out and get a legit offensive lineman. And that, you're right, that's totally on him.
Retreads are retreads for a reason, you know, in a lot of cases. So before we get to any more in-depth on that, Avery's been waiting patiently. We do appreciate that. Wants to get in here on the Texans. What's up?
That's on me. That's on me.
But Avery, is it your job? Was it your job? Is it your job?
I didn't hire an offensive coordinator because hell, I think I can do it, and I guess save the team some money. I got to get these guys going a little better. That's on me. I've been saying this for the last, I don't know how many years, and hell, I keep getting away with it, so I guess I'm going to keep on doing it. Still have a job. I don't know how. That's on me. Got to manage the team better. Got to manage the clock better, and I'm going to keep on saying it. I don't know how long I have a job, but I say it every single week, and I know people in Houston may be tired of it, but that's on me, guys. I got to go. Any more questions? I'm Bill O'Reilly. Brian, I'm sorry. And I guess I proved this, man.
We'll do it live!
That's great. Good job, Avery. Appreciate the call. You know, it's funny, because if you didn't know any better, you would have thought you just heard the clips from the Bill O'Brien press conference.
Yeah. The only thing he's missing is just using the first name of whoever asked the question like 85 times.
Yeah, somebody did point out, though, Steve, Landa Steve on Twitter said, y'all mentioned asking tougher questions. It looks like Paul Gallant, maybe first real media guy in the city to get some balls and ask a tough question, basically asked him, why should the fans believe in you as a head coach?
Ooh,
good for you, Paul.
That's I will say this. Barry Warner was that guy a couple years ago.
He would ask that?
Yeah, he would go at O'Brien, and everybody would be like, oh, God, here we go. Because he was cantankerous, and he was looking for it.
I think it's a legitimate question, and I don't think he's just trying to be.
No, based on where Paul works.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's a hell of a question.
Yeah, but
he posed it just right. He, like, softened the blow. Like,
yeah, well, the fans.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's the way he posed it good.
Here's a observation that I have.
Okay.
From the first three games, the Texans are they're being outscored 55-20 in the first half. Through three games, this is their offensive output and defensive output in the first half versus the second half. First half of the three games, they've scored 6 points, 7 points, and 6 points, while giving up 14, 10, and 16. That's 40-20. So this is a team that's down by at least a touchdown going into the second half. All right. Which means now you've got to probably come from behind. You've got to pass a little more. We know that that hasn't been going well. This is a run first team. They've been good at rushing the ball this year. That's the one thing they've done decently is run the football. Second half, they've scored 55 points, given up 20 over three games. Their second half output, 21, 14, and 20 versus 6, 6, and 7 that they've given up. So it's literally flipped. The problem is by the time they're ready to come back, it's too late. This is a second half team. What that says to me is they're not coming in prepared, or they're not coming in ready. And that's one job and one job only, and that's the coaching staff. It's the coaching staff's job to get this team ready to play. Now, are they making good adjustments at halftime? Sure. But what's going on in the first half where you've scored 6, 7, and 6 points and given up 14, 10, and 16?
You're absolutely right, because here's what else I observed because of what you're talking about. Slow starts are almost automatically with this team over three games dictated by at least 1 to 3 penalties where they're at least formulating a drive. In all three of the games, it's a similarity that keeps rearing its head. And again, that's on discipline. That's on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Right? I've been harping for weeks now that you normally get the second job of a guy that has more than one title because you've mastered the first. We know you haven't mastered clock management, calling timeouts, when to challenge a play, time management with your quarterback late in games, and the rest of the offense. So just stick to what you have to do, which is you have to get these little things, attention to detail, sewn up so that you don't have as many mistakes and slip-ups, because you know that players are going to make mistakes. You know that things are going to happen in the course of a game. But from an offensive coordinator position, and I keep going back to this, I said this a week or so, a couple weeks ago, about the fact that the same sample size that you poo-pooed on Rick Smith for giving Brock Osweiler a major free agent deal, 6 games, you also took those same 6 games and believed that Bill O'Brien was the guy to coach Deshaun Watson to the level of play that we all expected him to get to because of the 6 games that he coached him last year. What the hell happened since then? Because they're not running the offense that they ran back then. They're not scoring the points, as you mentioned. They're not doing anything remotely close to what they were doing in those 6 games.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good football coach. I think that's it. I mean, he's not good at he might be a good coordinator, but, you know.
But, Barry, they called him a quarterback whisperer. What, because he made Christian Hackenberg serviceable at Penn State for a year? Because we saw those quarterbacks.
Listen, Tom Brady will make anybody look like a quarterback whisperer.
Right, but Hoyer, Mallett, all the guys he brought in that he thought were doing it the Patriots way. And again, that's the other thing. I'm tired of the Patriots way, because I wrote an article last night for SportsMap on this. Just so you people are clear, all of the Belichick coaching tree guys are under 500, with the exception of one. You'll never guess who it is.
Matt Patricia.
Al Groh was 9-7 in 1 year with the Jets before he moved on to the University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Cornell's below 500. McDaniel's below 500. Mangini's below 500. O'Brien's below 500. Patricia's 1-1 now. And if that's the best you got, you might want to move on from that tree and maybe chop it down.
There were actually two people from the NFL Network that picked the Houston Texans to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Kyle Brandt was one of them from the morning show.
Okay.
And the other one I'll forgive a little bit because she's absolutely beautiful. Her name is Cynthia Freeland or whatever her name is. But then I went to her profile.
Yeah.
Mostly NFL data science, period, Bermuda grass specialist.
Oh, she's out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? No. Yeah. She's dumb enough to pick the Texans to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
Just saying.
Why, by the way, top three teams in the league versus the pass, which is kind of shocking. Dolphins, Ravens, Jets. Worst, Saints 1, Clarence. Texans 2, Buccaneers 3. The only difference is that the Saints and the Buccaneers have wins under their belt. But the Texans, worst versus the pass, second worst team in the NFL versus the pass. With, like you said, you add Colvin and Matthew to a secondary that was supposed to be still decent, serviceable, better. So you're supposed to be better there, too, and you didn't.
Yep.
So.
We got text too, but Clarence, Charlie, we see you after this break. We will take your calls and get to some of y'all's texts and thoughts on the Texans.
Yeah,
as well.
Palillo. I mean, if your show wasn't enough and you want to get some real input with some feedback, we're here for you.
I don't think it's so that, Charlie.
Oh, it's not? Okay. Well, just in case it was. All right, before we go to break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. It starts with the man at the top, like we've been talking about, and that's Mattress Mack. Unlike the guys we've been talking about, Mattress Mack knows exactly how to run his business and sail his ship so that it does all the things that it's supposed to do for you, the people of Houston, Texas. To be proud of the fact that Mattress Mack and Gallery Furniture in Houston, because of the fact that he listens and along the way he takes care of you and he comes out with win after win, because what he says is exactly what they're going to do. That means they're going to make sure that their furniture is going to last a long time. It's solid wood. It's American made. It's from brands like Stickley. When you talk about living room and dining room furniture, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns and Foster, when you're talking about in the bedroom, for the mattresses and the box springs and all the things that you need for a good night's sleep. And the fact is, no matter what you buy, leather, upholstered furniture, bedroom furniture, otherwise, the fact you buy it from Gallery, it's going to last, it's going to be quality, and you're going to be happy with what you bought. The other thing is there's going to be no back order slips. So if you buy today, you get it tonight. Within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, delivery guys at your door delivering your furniture. They're also not going to shy away from moving furniture to another room of the house for you, rearranging some things, taking some things away you don't want anymore, and helping out with the little things, because they want to make that indelible mark that says anytime you think furniture, you think about Gallery Furniture. With that being said, they used to have only one location. Now they have three to better serve you: Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria area, and of course the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. But regardless of all those other things, the other thing that Max says is exactly what's most important to you, and that's what he's going to hammer home time and time again. When you go to Gallery Furniture and you shop for anything and everything furniture-wise, it's guaranteed Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God. Just...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, football season is here. Make the games a little more interesting with my bookie. Put some scratch on it. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you are betting with. MyBookie is the online destination to get in on action on any of the games. And I found out you can even bet on the horses. That's what Fred was talking about the other day. I think that's pretty cool, too. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been in business for years. It's why I recommend them. It's why I'm using them when I'm betting. And what I like about them is when you win, they pay you. That's super important, man. A lot of these places, it's like pulling teeth to get your money out of them, not with MyBookie. They also have in-game live betting. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business, hands down. It's really cool. And if you're a fantasy guy or gal and you want to bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player is going to score each game, you can do that only at MyBookie. On your computer or mobile phone, go to mybookie.ag, or you can just Google it. Just Google MyBookie and check it out. And right now, when you sign up, they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. I did not misread that. That is a correct statement. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar if you use promo code radio. Do promo code radio, activate that offer, that dollar for dollar match. It's yours. Super easy to get signed up. Just go to mybookie.ag or Google MyBookie, MyBookie. Use promo code radio, get that account set up. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Word.
Plus, he was talking to you in your ear. Why, did you hear him talk?
Super.
Did you hear him talk while you were doing your read?
No.
It didn't bother me, though. Because I'm a professional.
That's why you're snapping your straw and slurping on the air.
See, I was trying to look out for you like I was looking out for him the other week.
Did you yell at him like you yelled at me?
Well, he didn't continue.
Did you scream at
him? He didn't push the talk back 4 or 5 times in the middle of a read.
Welcome still back. Still talked.
Did you scream at him?
I didn't. Did I scream at you?
Yeah, you did. I don't remember that. You were like, I was like, whoa, man. I just was asking a simple question.
That's kind of the way you said it in the microphone when I was doing my read, too.
No.
Instead of me going,
quiet. Did you, like, man. That's exactly how I did it. Just think there's a double standard here, but whatever. Well, let's do the calls first. Yeah? No?
Catch me stealing.
Who's been holding the longest? Clarence wants to talk Texans. Clarence, what's up?
Hey, guys.
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Not much. Enjoying this Victory Monday.
Yeah.
But Texans, you know, you have to suck as a defense to currently make Eli Manning good. You know what they were doing with Eli Manning that they weren't doing with the Texans quarterback, Deshaun Watson? Eli Manning looked like he was 22 years old. He was rolling out left. He was rolling out right. About every other pass he was doing, he was rolling out. If your offensive line is that bad, why can't you do the same? Roll out left. I know you don't want him to get hurt. You're trying to turn him into a pocket passer. But guess what? He's not. They tried to turn Michael Vick into a pocket passer at one point in time in Atlanta to prevent him from getting hurt. These are people that are not pocket passers. They are better on the run. Eli Manning is a statue back there, but guess what? He was looking great, rolling out, making great passes. Not in the pocket, but rolling out, guy. Who that?
Appreciate the call, Clarence. Who that indeed? By the skin of your teeth, who that won?
But a road win and a big win at that. And so you do get the tip of the cap.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, good points. They did make Eli Manning look a lot better than at this point in his career I think he is.
Of course, if it's one team that's going to make Eli Manning and the Giants look good, it's going to be the Texans.
Yeah, no doubt. Charlie wants to talk Texans. Charlie, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What up, man? How you doing?
All right. I have a member of a Facebook group that's dedicated to a certain Houston sports team, and this guy's in second guessing this coach, and he wants the coach fired. But it's not who you think he wants. It's not who you think it is. He wants fired. He wants AJ Hinch fired.
Why?
That's what I'd like to know. I mean, every week he always second guesses AJ Hinch, even after a win. But I think this man is wanting the wrong Houston coach fired.
Well,
yeah. I mean, look, it's hard to argue when you want to put them side by side and compare the two. I mean, it's like if you were a professor teaching coaching 101 and you want the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it, well, without anything in the middle from common ground, you got Hinch on one side and you got Bill O'Brien on the other.
There's always going to be idiots.
Always.
And you know what I've heard? Every walk of life, including on Facebook in a sports group. That doesn't surprise me at all. That there's some dumbass.
It was breaking news to him, though.
Some dumbass that thinks AJ Hinch should be fired the year after he won a World Series and is about to win the division again. Yeah. That doesn't surprise
me. And how many times have we heard people question AJ Hinch and then like a day or two later say, yeah, I'm not going to question him again? It happens.
He's good at his job.
Bottom line is...
I know that's hard to admit for some people, but he's good at his job.
The guy got a call that wasn't called... Mm-hmm. And it won him a game.
Yeah.
As opposed to a guy that needs his punter to tell him when to throw the red flag, doesn't know when to call a timeout to possibly get something reviewed, and can't manage the clock.
Not only that, but he's got an assistant head coach. If he's not knowing when to throw the red flag or call a timeout because he's calling plays, the hell is Romeo Crennel doing? He's getting a pass. The hell is he doing? There's two guys running all this. It's Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel. The defense hadn't been great.
But once Crennel reassumed his duties as the coordinator of the defense as well, obviously then he gets a pass too because he can't be focused as much on head coaching duties or assistant head coaching duties when he's got to worry about coaching the defense. So you could go to your offensive coordinator. No, you couldn't.
He's the assistant head coach. He could also be in O'Brien's ear. Hey, you probably need to call a timeout here, coach. I know you're involved in the game. What the hell else do you have an assistant for then?
It might be one of those situations.
That's not my job. Okay, well then let Romeo do that damn job.
Yeah.
You've got two really supposedly really good football minds.
It might be one of those situations where he doesn't want to like cross the line that could potentially get him fired. You know what I mean?
Well, it's going to get them both fired if he doesn't.
Yeah, that's probably true.
The thing that Bill O'Brien doesn't care about is if he gets fired or not, simply because he's got four more years regardless of whether he coaches the team or does nothing, which it seems like either way he's doing nothing, but he's going to get paid for it regardless.
I mean,
I think that's in the back of his head, but at the same time, I think he really does want to be a good head coach, and he can't.
Yeah,
he's just not good.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, because these are guys that when you get to this level, they want to win. Sure, these guys want to win. I don't think Bill O'Brien is just like, I don't care.
I got paid.
Yeah. No, I think he wants to win and be a great head coach. He's just incapable of that at this point.
Yeah, and Kareem Jackson was trying to defend him, and I know why he was, saying it's not on him, it's on us, you know, our players.
They do have to execute.
Honey Badger was on that train, too, of saying, look, at the end of the day, it still comes down to us, and we're the ones on the field, and we got to perform. But I'm saying, you know what, again, when you look at the two organizations, and he was comparing Hinch and Bill O'Brien, the other big thing is the fact that from an organizational standpoint, the Astros didn't extend A.J. Hinch until after they won, even though they had so many good things going for them. I mean, Bill O'Brien still had a year left on his deal. And I know it's not the in thing to do now. You're supposed to extend the coach with 1 year left. Otherwise, he's a quote-unquote lame duck coach. But he hasn't won enough to deserve anything but be that in that situation and coach your way out of it. But instead, because you gave him an extension that doesn't kick in until next year, you're on the hook for a whole lot more. And that's why I said, and I wrote the article last night for SportsMap, for all of you that are clamoring that he should go away and be fired and it's time to move on, they're not going to swallow that big of a loss for the next 4 years. They're just not going to do it. You have to look at the alternatives, which would be, hey, whether it's the ownership that comes in and does it, or he backs his own words and says, I haven't been doing a great job calling plays. It's time to bring someone in that can take that off my plate and do a better job of that so I can concentrate on the other things. That's
Chance,
a start.
Chance, that I've been sick and tired of the Patriots of the South thing. This team has never tried to establish their own identity. I mean, I think they switched identities. They obviously tried with Kubiak and all that, but this whole Bill O'Brien Patriots of the South thing.
Established an identity.
Well, but I think the Patriots of the South thing came when they went out and got Bill O'Brien and tried to get all those quarterbacks and stuff like that, and it's just not worked. It's not worked.
Well, they keep winning in Foxborough.
It's like, I don't know. I think I also had written something about or talked about it on SportsMap, but this whole you're not going to be the Patriots because you don't have Tom Brady. That's the whole thing. Tom Brady is the Patriots' way.
Or any of the other side personnel, the complimentary
pieces.
None of
that matters. Look how many players and coaches have come and gone with Tom Brady still as the quarterback. It doesn't matter. Aaron Hernandez, Gronk, Randy Moss. I mean, you look at the different running backs. None of that matters. What matters, Tom Brady is the Patriots' way. And until you get that, nobody's duplicating that.
You know, and I get that, but also the consistency is the offensive line. You know, you're right. From a skill position, absolutely. But again, in order to be the Patriots, you gotta have personnel to play like the Patriots, too. And then, obviously, the Patriots way hasn't exactly proven to be successful outside of Foxborough, with the exception of two guys, as you mentioned, Brady and Belichick, right?
That's the point I'm making. Tom Brady is the Patriot way.
Okay, I get it.
That's like, he is the Patriot way. You're never going to duplicate that unless you get Tom Brady.
Okay. All right, so we got one in the books, two to go, still 2 hours on the show. If you want to continue the Texans talk, we're welcome to do that. Still got plenty more to get to, recap the NFL, college football, and, of course, the Astros. So stay tuned for hour number two in just mere minutes. But right now I do want to tell you about the Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them a long time. They are great because they're Houstonians helping kids in the Houston area to get a second chance at an education. And your donations do nothing but help the process out. That means if you've got a clunker collecting rust and dust, maybe it's a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a trailer, a truck, or just a car that's not running anymore and you want to get rid of it. Maybe it was damaged in the hurricane. You don't want to pay even more money out of your pocket to have a tow truck take it away. You don't have to. You pick up the phone, you call 713-225-4226, or you log on to carsforkids.org. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They bring a tow truck. They do all the paperwork. They give you a tax deduction, which always helps. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You also get a $50 gift card, but that's where the process really begins, because your donation is turned into resources for kids that desperately need things as they try and hit the books. Things like eyeglasses, book money, bus fare,
I mean, warm meals, things that they don't have are distractions that can really hinder them when trying to make sure that they concentrate on their studies. When they do have them, they focus, they finish, and good things come to those that follow the program. That's why I'm telling you about this program, because I want, if you can, to consider donations. 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.